What's up, Mets fans? Welcome to the Whole Lotta Mets podcast. My name is Mendy. You can follow me on Twitter at Lotta Mets. In this episode, I want to talk about how DJ LeMahieu may have really affected the Mets' free agency target, George Springer. And I want to talk about Brad Hand. Will he or will he not sign with our New York Mets? And possible depth option for the New York Mets. I know that Jared Porter is always saying about how I want quality depth. It is a very long season, and he is always preaching quality depth. So I want to talk about possible options that the New York Mets can target. All right, guys, here we go. So, with the Yankees absolutely stealing DJ LeMahieu at 6 years, $90 million, right? As a Mets fan, number one, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that he only got $15 million a year. Like, for DJ LeMahieu, the Yankees' best player, without a doubt, it's their best player. It's not Aaron Judge. It's not Gerrit Cole. It's not Giancarlo Stanton. It's not Gleyber Torres. It's DJ LeMahieu. DJ LeMahieu is coming off of back-to-back MVP candidate seasons. And he got 6 years, $90 million. Are you kidding me right now? That's a steal. A steal for the Yankees. So, what do you think that does to the Mets? In my head, I don't think the Mets really care about what the Yankees do. But I do think that George Springer's price now absolutely plummeted. Plummeted. Because at first, he wants $180 million. He wants $175. He wants this. He wants that. He's not getting double. He's not getting double what DJ got. Is George Springer double as good as DJ LeMahieu? That's number one. Number two, right? The longer a player goes on and waits in free agency, the longer a team realizes, like, oh, wait, I could go out and I could replace so-and-so with such-and-such. So, if the Mets don't get George Springer, or if they decide that that George Springer is asking way too much, they can go after JBJ. And if JBJ is asking for way too much, they can go after Albert Almora. So, there are always other options. Always. And the longer Springer decides to take his dandy time, and with reports saying how he wants to play next to Connecticut, yada, 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 quit playing, bro. Like, I'm sick of George Springer leaking all this, how he wants to do this, and how he wants to play for the Mets, and how he wants to do that. Just shut up and sign already. The Mets have a price. The Mets have an offer. They sent you their best offer. It's not going up. The only thing DJ did to you was say, oh, hey, look, I took $15 million a year, so I basically screwed everyone else over. He screwed over JT. He screwed over Springer, which I'm not complaining about. But if Springer thinks that he's going to get more than $125 million contract, you're insane. All right? The Mets have their offer out there. I don't know what the offer is. But if I had to guess, it's probably 5 years, $120 million. Right? They told Springer, I'm not going over this. Take it or leave it offer. So Springer is obviously hoping by leaking that, I hope to play next to family. Oh, New York is really a target, yada, yada, yada. That maybe the Met fans are going to put pressure on the team. And hopefully Steve Cohen in his first offseason is going to hopefully cave in to the fans and give Springer that massive deal which he's holding out for, which is not going to happen, especially after the DJ contract, because Steve Cohen is going to say, hey, look, DJ just got $15 million a year for 6 years. Why in the world would I pay a cheater, a guy who cheated, double that? Doesn't make sense. No way. No way. Especially a center fielder who's going to go out and going to play center field for maybe 2 years, and then the rest of the contract, he's probably going to have to play a corner outfield position. So why would the Mets go out and overpay for that type of player? Makes no sense. Also, George Springer, news to you, boy. If you don't sign soon, your market is just going to keep on dwindling down and down and down and down. You're not Mike Trout. You're not Mookie Betts. You're George Springer, who has a lot of baggage with him, guys. He did cheat. All right? He was good as a cheater. I do want him as on the Mets still. I do still think that he's a very solid player. In no world am I saying that the Mets are going to be better off without George. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm getting a little frustrated about how he's leaking all this BS out in hoping of using the Met fans against the Mets. And that's really starting to bother me. All right. So, George, the Mets have their offer out there. You either take it or you go out and you ride in poverty in Toronto or Buffalo, wherever they decide to play, and go out and nobody gives a rat's ass about the Blue Jays. So go out and sign there. I don't care. I ran out of fucks to give with you, George. I'm sorry. I just did. We wanted you in November. We wanted you in December. It's now January 17th. Time is running out on you, George. I'm sorry, but it is. And if I'm being honest with you guys, I don't think that George Springer puts the Mets over the top. I don't think that a lineup with George Springer is like, oh, boom, title contenders. Do I think that they'll maybe be division favorites? Maybe. But title contenders? No. He's not a Mookie Betts. He's not a Cody Bellinger. He's a very good player, but he's not an MVP all-star level like a Francisco Lindor. So the Mets have their five-year, $120 million probably offer out there. Let's see what he does. So I was at work, and the often reliable Ken Rosenthal said that the Mets are very close to an agreement with Indians closer Brad Hand. Great move. Absolutely great move. But then he walked it back, which is weird because in my eyes, Ken is the Woj of baseball. The Woj of baseball. Maybe it's Jeff Passan, but it's very close. Very close. And the fact that he went and he tweeted it out and then it turns out to be not true. When there's smoke, there's fire, guys. In my eyes, I think the one thing that's holding the Mets back right now from signing a JBJ or a George Springer is that they want to get the Brad Hand deal done first, and then worry about center field, because the Mets have no lefties right now in the bullpen. Shreve is a free agent. Justin Wilson is a free agent. They have nobody, no left-handed pitcher. So if you go out and you get a Brad Hand, you bring back Justin Wilson on maybe a 1 year, $3 million deal. In my eyes, I think that Brad Hand is probably holding out for a two-year deal. If I had to guess, it would probably be 2 years, $18 million with a second-year option, or maybe a one-plus-one deal, meaning 1 year on the first year, $10 million, and a second year on a team option for $10 million with maybe a $2 million buyout. That's definitely a possibility. I would give that to Brad Hand, but the Mets want to ink the paper. They want the deal done. And then they'll focus whatever money they have left on maybe a Taiwan Walker and a George Springer. Because the starting rotation, guys, is not done yet. Yes, we got Carrasco. Yes, I think that Carrasco is going to be our number two guy. Right behind DeGrom, I think it's going to be Carrasco. I think he's going to be ahead of Syndergaard. I think he's going to be ahead of Marcus Stroman, and he's going to be ahead of David Peterson. And there's tons of reports saying about how the Mets want Lugo back in the bullpen where he belongs, guys. Lugo is not a good starter. I'm sorry, he's not. He's a lockdown reliever. Lockdown. He's the one person that I trust in the Mets bullpen day in, day out. That if Lugo comes in, I know that Lugo is probably going to close it out. Yes, he has an off game maybe here or there, but it's Lugo. I really believe in Seth Lugo, and I love Lugo. So I think that Lugo belongs in the bullpen, and I think that that's where he's going to stay. In the next section of the episode, I want to talk about potential roster options. All right, guys. So Jarrett Porter has been preaching a lot. About quality depth in the infield or just on the bench in general. So I'm looking at the free agents out there, and I'm trying to think of who has versatility, who could hit, and who has a good glove. So I've came up with about a couple of names, three names that I want to talk about. I know that the Mets have checked in on two of these guys, and those are Colton Wong and Jerickson Profar. But Mets fans, that's not where I want to start. I want to start talking about my number one free agent who could get, I'm thinking, around 1 year, $3 million. If he gets that, that's a steal for any team who signs him. His name is Tommy La Stella. He has a career 274 average. He has power. He could field everywhere. He was an eighth round pick from the Braves. He hit 16 homers in 2019, only one homer in 2018. So his main focus isn't power, but he can show like in 2019 and 2020. He hit 5 home runs this year in 55 games, and in 80 games last year, he hit 16 home runs. So the power does seem to be coming around. He had a 281 average the year before. He had a 281 average in 2020. He had a 295 average in 2019. Okay year, 266 average in 2018, but he only played, there's no excuses there. He played 123 games. That was just a bad year for him. And in 2017, he had a 288 average with a base percentage of 389. So he could clearly hit. He's a career 274 hitter. On the bench, he comes on and off. He has a good glove. The versatility is there. He plays second base. He could play third base. It's there. It's not like he can't hit. It's not like he can't field. In fact, I'll look up his fielding statistics right now. He had no errors in 2020. He had 4 errors in 2019. So the glove is there. He could definitely field. He could hit. He could play all over the field. Sign me up, Tommy La Stella. I'm in on Tommy La Stella. If I'm the Mets, I would target Tommy La Stella. So the next one is Colton Wong. He had an okay year last year, 261 average, one homer, 16 RBIs. He was the Cardinals' second baseman for 7 years. He doesn't show a lot of power. He's about a 260 hitter lifetime. He could make contact. His glove at second base is really good. He's a good bench bat. If the Mets sign him, that's a really good quality depth move. Everything right now is all about the depth right now, because I know how much Jared Porter has been talking about it, and how much I know that he cares about it. Like he says, it's a long season. I want my guys well rested, which brings me to my next guy, Jurickson Profar. He could play the outfield, although he's not a lifetime outfielder, but he could play the outfield. He could play second base, he could play shortstop, and he could play third base, and his glove plays everywhere. Everywhere. And he is a switch hitter who was once a top prospect. I think he was number one overall prospect in baseball in 2012. He clearly hasn't panned out. Although last year he did hit seven homers, 278 batting average. And how many are and 25 RBIs in 56 games? Not a bad sample size. You hope that maybe he's coming around at the age of 28, just entering really his prime, and we'll see how it turns around. I'm not saying the Mets should go out and give these guys a 2-year deal worth $15 million. No way. These guys are good 1-year rentals. That's all they are. 1 year, $3 to $4 million. Not even that. I think that Colton Wong would get a veteran's minimum, but I don't think that these players are going to cost you a lot. And if you're always talking about quality depth, this is the definition of quality depth. There's also Marwin Gonzalez out there for third base or the outfield, but I don't think that he's going to end up signing with the Mets. I think that he's going to cost a little bit extra. Michael Franco is a name. He was once a top prospect on the Phillies, but his glove just isn't there. He was carried by his bat, but now his bat isn't there. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens to him. I think his baseball career is going to be cut short. There is Malik Smith, who the Mets signed for a minor league deal, I think is a tremendous signing that nobody's talking about. That kid is a speedster. That kid could field. He can hit. He's a better Billy Hamilton who could hit. That doesn't make sense. He is a Walmart Billy Hamilton who could hit, meaning he's not as fast and he's not as good with the glove as Billy Hamilton, but he plays like Billy Hamilton, but he could hit a little bit more than Billy Hamilton, so that's a good move too. In the outfield, maybe you want to bring back Puig, but I don't exactly think the Mets are going to show interest in there. And if the DH is brought back, the Mets did sign Jose Martinez to a 1-year deal, who has tremendous power. He can't field for shit, but That is the Mets putting their quality depth in AAA. Meaning, they said that they want to have a veteran team down in AAA. That's one of the biggest bad things about the Mets farm system, is that they have absolutely nobody in the upper levels. Ronnie Mauricio, Brett Beatty, Matthew Allen, Francisco Alvarez, JT Ginn, Pete Armstrong, Josh Wolf. None of these guys are in AA or even AAA. So the Mets farm system is just not there. It's just not there. So they're going to basically want to have two major league teams. So basically, they're going to want to have the Mets, obviously, in the major leagues, but also have a AAA team filled with veterans. Like let's say, Gio Gonzalez on a one-year deal. Or give a Matt Moore a minor league deal, you know? Like, people who you have heard of, but aren't good enough right now to get a major league contract. So, I want to talk about George Springer and the Mets a little bit more. So, the Mets have right now about $27.5 million left in cap space. Well, there's no cap, but under the salary tax, which is basically a cap. So, they have $27.5 million left, and you sign Brad Hand, it's going to cost you about $9 to $10 million a year. Okay, so that leaves you with $18 to $17 million left. George Springer is not going to sign for $18 to $17 million. That's what he's worth, if we're being honest. But you always have to pay for a free agent, so he's probably going to cost into the 20 range. Fine. But how are the Mets going to sign him without being taxed? Because there's no way to sign him without being taxed, which is exactly why I love my trade I proposed on Twitter. Because you get a center field in Ian Happ, you get a third baseman in Chris Bryant, and you get an ace in Kyle Hendricks. And Jared Porter always said, I'm going to be creative. We are going to find creative ways to make the team better. Francisco Lindor and Carlos Carrasco is a creative way. Because Carlos Carrasco came out of nowhere, and Carlos Carrasco is a solid number two rotation pitcher. He is better than Marcus Stroman. He is better than Noah Syndergaard. That's just a fact. Does he have better stuff than them? He doesn't have better stuff than Noah Syndergaard. But he gets outs. He gets out of jams. He has that ERA. He has that curve rate. He has that spin rate. Carlos Carrasco is a very underrated pitcher. You see, like, nobody cares about the Indians. Absolutely nobody. Let's be honest, right? In fact, they're going to change their name, not this year, but next year. So they are so irrelevant. The Indians are so irrelevant that their offensive name collapsed another season without people caring. Because it's like, oh yeah, who cares? It's the Cleveland Indians. Like, who knew that even existed? So that's why I think that Carlos Carrasco is really flying under the radar here. But hey, you know, great move by the Mets. But the Indians have a loaded farm system. So they do have a lot of pitching coming in. So it was probably a salary dump. But I guarantee you right now, if Carlos Carrasco was a free agent, he would be getting paid a lot more than the $13 million contract that he signed. So I'm talking about Springer. And as much hype as there is around him going to the Mets, I just don't see it. The more I think about it, the more like I try to process it, I just can't see it, because I don't see how they're going to get it under the salary cap. Do they go ahead and do they dump Familia on somebody? Yeah, but if you do that, you have to give up prospects. And it doesn't make sense to go out and dump a prospect just because you want to go out and you want to sign Springer. Because you're technically giving up two prospects. That's why I don't think people realize it a little bit. Because your second round pick is going to go away because you are signing Springer and he had the qualifying offer. So what happens is you lose a draft pick. So you're giving up two prospects in return for George Springer. Do you really want to do that? Which is exactly why I think that the baseball market is perfectly set up for the Mets. Perfectly set up for the Mets. Go out and get a Nolan Arenado and a starting pitcher. You could do that from the Rockies. Go out and get Chris Bryant and Kyle Hendricks. You could do that from the Rockies. You could do all these things. You really can. The market is set up absolutely perfect for you. Perfect. Go out and take advantage of it. Yes, we have the money, but you don't have to go ahead and only spend it on free agents. Chris Bryant, Nolan Arenado, these guys aren't free agents. And, excuse me, teams want to get rid of them. So, you're getting back a positive for us, which is a negative for them. And we can dump our negative on them because it's a positive for them because they're not getting paid as much as Bryant or Nolan Arenado, which is exactly why I think that going trade-wise makes a lot more sense because either way, you are giving up prospects. Either way, whether you want Springer or Arenado, it's going to cost you progress. It's going to cost you prospects. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to the whole Lotta Mets podcast. You guys are the best. Follow me on Twitter @LottaMets. Peace.